Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azalea, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hands of the doers of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house." Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hands, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, and brought the king word again, and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them doing the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest have delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asahiah went up to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shulam, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harpheth, keeper of the wall. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed her with her. And she said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah have read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the words of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again.
Are you able to unshare the PowerPoint so we
Oh.
can see you?
Is that okay?
Great.
Okay. May the Lord bless. the reading of his holy and infallible words, we're going to continue on to our meeting. Tonight we'll look at the use and importance for the word of Christ, as we saw in our New Testament reading. The word of God is also known as the word of Christ, the words which Christ has said. We've just passed October, which is also known as Reformation Month. Yesterday, on October 31st, was the 506th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, a great, amazing history for us to look back on. On the 6th of October, it's the anniversary of William Tyndale's death, where he was martyred, burned at the stake for translating the Bible into the English tongue. Tyndale knew the importance of being able to read God's words, and Rome despised this. The word of God provides the saving knowledge of salvation. The word of God provides important commandments for us, for our living in sanctification. And the word of God is the important authority above the church. I'll read chapter 1, paragraph 1 of the 1689 London Baptist Confession on the chapter of the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are the only sufficient, certain, and infallible standards of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. The light of nature and the works of creation and providence so clearly demonstrate the goodness, wisdom, and power of God that people are left without excuse. However, these demonstrations are not sufficient to give the knowledge of God and his will that is necessary for salvation. Therefore, the Lord was pleased at different times and in various ways to reveal himself and to declare his will to his church, to preserve and propagate the truth better, and to establish and comfort the church with greater certainty against the corruption of the flesh and the malice of Satan and the world. The Lord put this revelation completely in writing. Therefore, the Holy Scriptures are absolutely necessary, because God's former ways of revealing his will to his people have now ceased. We see, as the confession says, that all of the world, all of mankind, are without excuse, knowing there is a God, as Romans 1 says. But the scriptures are where the true, infallible knowledge of saving faith are placed. It's how we see the gospel. It's where that knowledge is contained. And as is shown in the confession, this is a perfectly preserved word of God, as the Reformed confessions say. It's contradictory to those today who claim to be Reformed to use a modern translation that is corrupted. The AV is used in this church, the Authorized Version, because we hold to the doctrine of perfect preservation of God's word. And this is what the King James Version is translated from. Perfect, uncorrupted manuscripts that have been perfectly preserved by God's sovereignty. We've looked at this doctrine recently and looked on apologetics, which are important, which we won't go on to tonight. Going back to Colossians 3:16, where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And how much more important it is that this is a uncorrupted, perfect word dwelling in us. We'll continue on the main passage of 2 Kings 22, but Colossians 3:16 has significance here. We'll go on to our first point of tonight. The word of Christ is essential for self-examination. The word of Christ is essential for self-examination. Going to verse 13 of chapter 22 in 2 Kings. "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that is written concerning us." We see in this passage of 2 Kings that the king of Judah, Josiah, when he discovered the book of the law, which is the law of Moses, the first five books in the Bible, There was a greater revelation of the sins of Judah, which brought a much greater conviction to Josiah and Judah. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. This shows the importance for us on our duty as Christians to know God's word. This isn't for the purpose of intellect, but for the purpose of honoring God and holiness, for the purpose of giving him true reverent worship, and that we are also in good standing before a holy God. The word of God has the revelation of the mystery of the gospel, as says in the confession, that exclusive knowledge of the saving faith. The holy scriptures are the only sufficient, certain, and infallible standard of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. The word of Christ is essential for our self-examination as Christians. When we look at 1 Corinthians 14, verses 20 to 30, in regards to the Lord's Supper, it gives a careful instruction of self-examination. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In the Church of England's Book of Common Prayer, it has exhortations leading up to a communion service in order to give the congregation a careful examination of themselves before the problem of taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Prior to the service, the minister reads the Ten Commandments to the congregation. After each commandment is written out, the congregation say, Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Self-examination is of absolute importance, so we do not receive judgment or damnation, as the passage describes, on ourselves. And while we as Christians are free from an eternal damnation by God's grace, the Lord is still to be feared. The prayer book also mentions, prior to communion, the way and means thereto is, first, to examine your lives and conversations by the rule of God's commandments, and whereinsoever ye shall perceive yourselves to have offended, either by will, word, or deeds, dare to bewail your own sinfulness, and to confess yourselves to Almighty God with full purpose of amendment of life. And if you shall perceive your offences to be such as are not only against God, but also against your neighbours, then you shall reconcile yourselves unto them, being ready to make restitution and satisfaction according to the uttermost of your powers for all injuries and wrongs done by you to any other, and being likewise ready to forgive others that have offended you, as you would have forgiveness of your offences at God's hands. For otherwise, the receiving of the Holy Communion doth nothing else but increase your damnation. As we see from the prayer book, it gives that examination when we look at God's moral law. When we look at God's moral law, as King Josiah himself saw, seeing how unholy we are compared to a holy God, how we fall short to meet that perfect standard of God's word. And as Jesus preaches on the Sermon of the Mount, that this is far more than outward action, that it's also in the heart, that even hatred itself counts as murder. We should walk carefully before God, that we all be in good standing. The word of God gives us that conviction, as we saw in King Josiah, the realization, the state of our own self. It is a humbling thing to us. And when we constantly do this, we keep in good standing. And this brings us to our next point. The word of Christ sanctifies. The word of Christ sanctifies. The word of God provides us that saving knowledge, but it doesn't end there. The word of God continues to sanctify us, and we must keep reading it. As mentioned, it is every Christian's duty to have the Word of God dwelling in us richly for our own good. In Psalm 119, verse 103 to 104, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This is a believer speaking. The change of hearts. As unbelievers, we were under condemnation of God's moral law, failing to keep it, falling short of his glory. As regenerate hearts, we have now a greater desire, a desire to keep God's law, to love his law. And though we are not made perfect, we are continuously sanctified by the Lord Jesus, giving us a greater desire to love God's law. And as the Lord himself said, that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. But it's also a duty for us to, in our sanctification, to know God's word against the lies we face. When we look at Matthew chapter 4, we see how Satan was trying to tempt the Lord himself, and in some cases, even trying to twist the very words that the Lord Jesus said against himself. Just looking at verse 3 and 4, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We see here Jesus, unlike Adam in the Garden of Eden, perfectly resisted Satan, and he resists Satan's lies with the truth of the word of God, quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Going back to chapter 22 of 2 Kings, we see how this is applied in King Josiah. In verse 16 to 20, we see, following from verse 13, that King Josiah not only was troubled by the sins of Judah, but humbled himself before God, and the Lord was merciful and given judgment to Josiah. This is because Josiah had a change in heart. This wasn't just for outward fear, but inwardly a new desire was given to the king. We see here, thus saith the Lord, from verse 16, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Israel have read. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the words of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, which thou heardest when I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. This is the change of heart to King Josiah. The rediscovery of the law of Moses brought that conviction in him, seeing how unworthy he was and how wicked the sins of Judah were before a holy God. But by the Lord's grace, the Lord changed the king's heart to repentance. And this brought on to a great revival in the land of Judah. And this can't be done by reading alone, as we see in the passage. Inwardly, we must truthfully have a joy of reading God's words as we're sanctified, as shown in King Josiah's actions. We sang earlier Psalm 19 from verse 7 to 14. We see what a converted heart feels towards God's law. How it states the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycombs. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And what a privilege it is that we as Christians can truthfully sing the words of this psalm, truthfully in the hearts, to reflect how our regenerate hearts feel towards God, to his word that he has set before us. The law of the Lord brings fear, but for the converted, it should be their delight, rejoice in the heart, as David says in the psalm. This isn't through works of the law, which condemn us in the dead hearts of the unconverted, but through the word of the Lord renewing us to be more Christ-like. The power of God is working in us, but we have a responsibility to resist temptations of our fallen nature, which we still carry. Going back to our reading in Colossians chapter 3, how it has a big list of sins. We're going to verse 16 in the chapter, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is how we resist the temptations of our corrupt nature. And it doesn't take the wickedest of transgressions to fall short. The standard of God is so high that it's not only what we do, but what the goods that we fail to do. And that's why we are to confess our sins every day, as the Lord gave to us in the Lord's Prayer. In Psalm 119, from verse 129 to 136, which we'll sing later, Lord willing. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy words, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. This is the testimony of a believer. It was the same testimony Josiah saw when he saw the law of God, desiring to be right with God as he was troubled by his sins and the sins of Judah. The true converted heart can truthfully say, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. When we're converted, former love we may have had for sin is now brief for sin. As we see in verse 136, rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And it's very troubling, especially the sins we see in today's land, how far gone this nation is against God, against his moral law, how this nation has turned its back. This should be how we feel as believers, feeling a sensitivity towards sin and a greater desire for holiness. Make thy face to shine upon thy servants and teach me thy statutes. The word of God gives us that knowledge that we might not know how to pray or struggle what to say in things of prayer. We have a whole book of Psalms teaching us how to pray, reflecting every emotion of the believer. But the Spirit of God helps us to utter these words that God has revealed in his word. And these words we can use because we believe in a holy God who is perfect, and therefore his word is perfect, which brings us to our third point. The word of Christ is perfect. The scriptures are to be self-interpreted, not by us or by any church body, but rather we're to be governed by the scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verses 16 to 17, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished, furnished unto all good works. The word of Christ, which is all of scripture breathed out by God, and because of this, there is to be no other interpreter than the scripture itself. As it says back in the confession, that God's former ways of revealing his word have now ceased. His word is perfect. His word is complete. We have the privilege of the complete word of God preserved for us. It was paid by blood of martyrs who died for us to have this privilege. This is God speaking to us. And how important it is that God's word itself is perfect. And this must be remembered when applying it practically, that we truthfully believe we are reading a perfectly preserved word of God. As mentioned before, we were in Reformation month in October. When we look back to the strongholds of the Roman Catholic Church, the False Church of Rome, they had their power restricting people from being able to read the word of God for themselves. There's only a few who were elites, educators who could understand Latin, that were able to read the texts. And what great confusion this brought on the land when Roman Catholic masses were done in Latin, people not knowing what was being said. Without knowing the word of God, we do not know the saving knowledge of faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then we live in falsehood. It's an amazing blessing for us that we have the complete word of God preserved for us. This privilege was given to us paid by blood. These men, such as William Tyndale, they did not die for traditions of Rome or for charismatic revelations, but for the word of God to be understood in our own native tongue, which reveals our sin to us, exposing our evil desires and exposing heresies and false religions, and exposing false teachers, which point us back to our Lord Jesus for repentance, for salvation, and for reproof. The false bishop of Rome, the man of perdition, who is the Antichrist, counts on the ignorance of people to deceive many and exalt himself. And this is what the constant succession of the popes have been. It is of historic significance of the Reformed faith, as the Reformed confessions show, that we hold to the perfect preservation, the doctrine of perfect preservation of God's word, and that it is our ultimate authority in all things we do, and that there is nothing else to be added to the canon of scripture with divine inspiration now being ceased. Anyone who claims to be adding to God's words puts himself in serious danger, as the scriptures warn. God's former ways of revealing himself are ceased complete. And of course, the false church of Rome opposes sola scriptura, that the common man should be able to understand the holy scriptures. Sola scriptura means scripture alone. And Martin Luther stated, "Scripture alone is the true Lord and master of all writings and doctrine on the earth." Many of the charismatic movement who would hold to the apostolic gifts now being continued are in dangerous error, claiming God adds more revelation, which leaves an open door to heresy. And Rome has much in common here, denying sola scriptura, adding on to ways which they deceive themselves to be true worship, which is false worship, idolatry of saints, statutes, and of course, the false bishop himself. The word of Christ sets the standard and provides wisdom for all of our living, our relationships to our parents, how we love our neighbor, and how roles of men and women are decided in marriage. And what a sadness it is that many professing churches have forsaken the male headship of biblical patriarchy and, of course, biblical womanhood in compromise for wicked lies from the enemy, such as feminism, which has contributed to great sins of the land, such as the liberalization of divorce. It all roots back to the first recorded sin, where Adam and Eve gave in to the devil's lie over God's truth. As the devil said back in the Garden of Eden, "Yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden," tempting us that we're missing out something which is far from the truth and is a cause for our fall. It is so important that we affirm the truth of God's word, holding to its true authority. Many hate us for holding to this truth, as the truth challenges those who are in the world. It will be done for things such as the biblical objective truth of marriage being one man and one woman. And if you want to know that a church is biblical, you assess it by the word of God in its practice. Back in 1994, the Church of England began ordaining women, which is a violation God has set for qualifications for leaders of men being male only. Unfortunately, today we see how the Church of England has escalated to even ordaining homosexual ministers, those who are reprobates, and even having their schools affirm transgenderism. It's very unfortunate how the Church of England has turned away from its former ways, turning away from God's word, and even what the Book of Common Prayer says. This shows how far we can go when we begin to question and violate the word of God. If we begin to question one part of it, we will proceed to question all of it, going back to what the devil said. "Yea, have God said?" And a few of us who were at a conference last Saturday, where one of the issues facing whilst living in the light of Christ's return is false Bibles, constantly questioning what God's word has said. "Yea, have God said?" Continuing on from chapter 22 of 2 Kings, when we go on to chapter 23, we see the result of Josiah's conviction of his repentance and how a reformation started in the land of Judah. Reading from verse 1. "And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all their hearts and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood in the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kitron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put them down, the idolatrous priests, who the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out of the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped its wall to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering of the gates of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand of, at the gate of the city." In this passage, we see the problems Judah were facing are very similar to what we're facing today in our own lands. Worship of Baal in verse 4. We have much idolatry with false religions in this land, such as Islam. We also have the false religion of secularism too, and secularism also being big on individualism, on oneself, putting yourself first above all things, which includes the child sacrifice of abortion and how similar this is to the worship of Baal. We also see the houses of the Sodomites, verse 7, which is an evil sin we see everywhere today we go, seeing the deception of the false rainbow in comparison to the rainbow, the Ark of the Covenant that God has set for us. We see these flags everywhere in our supermarkets, and even the children face it in the schools, and how unfortunate it is that our own children are in danger in these places. But as discouraging as it may be, looking how fallen this land may be, we can also be encouraged and be reminded that we have a perfect preserved word of God. And this is the same perfect preserved words that brought revival, reformation in the land of Judah. King Josiah had the courage and fear of the Lord, being convicted by God's words and the law of Moses, which brought reformation in the land of Judah during his reign. When we see for ourselves what God's word has to say, we see a true examination of ourselves, how unclean we are when we're stood before a holy God, and where we stand before eternity, heaven or hell. This is the very reason when you do evangelism, when you may offer someone a free Bible or a tract which contains some scriptures, how often do you see that sharp, fierce rejection? It's because we know that we are unholy before holy God, and the reading of his words brings great fear because it has the uncomfortable truth that we are sinners against the holy God and deserve his wrath in eternal hell. Josiah was only 8 years old when he began to reign, and of course, later on in his reign, significant reformation was made in his lands. Of course, looking back to the Protestant Reformation, what an amazing, significant part of history that is, and the Lord's sovereignty reviving Europe and turning a lot of Europe away from the false Bishop of Rome, from the Antichrist, and for the common man to see the scriptures for himself. And what we see the same truth here in 2 Kings through the reign of Josiah. We see the Lord's working mysteriously. King Josiah saw God's words and was convicted to repentance and wanted the nation he reigns to follow. And how amazing it is when the king of the nation has the word of God for him. And this is a great comfort for us when we do things like evangelism, when we have close loved ones, family by blood, which may not be converted. But if it is the Lord's will, they will be saved. And we can present them God's holy and infallible words, which, if it is his will bring them to conviction and to repentance in the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word is perfect, the perfect word of Christ, which was given to a king, cleansed Judah from its impure idolatry. Now, of course, the king was started his reign as an 8-year-old, which was before the revival. Remind us how important it is that our own children are taught the scriptures, that their hearts may be converted, and that we may be kept away from the evils of this world. On our last point, I'll finish off by reading Ephesians chapter 6 from verses 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, have your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive type of weapon we see here listed in the armor of God. And this language of battle shows how it's inevitable that we as Christians will face the fiery darts of the evil one. It's part of the Christian life. The Lord Jesus himself faced Satan in the wilderness. And this describes the battle-like the scenario we face as Christians. We are constantly in a spiritual war. Till the day we die, the evil one will always face us. But we don't need to fear him as long as we fear God above all things, constantly reading his word, constantly praying to him for wisdom. Josiah was faced in a spiritual battle, a battle of satanic idols surrounding him in the land of Judah. We're faced with the same idols. We mustn't get ready for battle, but be ready, having the perfect word of Christ dwelling richly in us, always armed in battle with the word of Christ, which is the sword of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We will go to sing our last song, and then we'll conclude the worship.
Ugh.